This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Breaking NFL news, Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
As the Texans are sending Laremy Tunsil and a fourth rounder to Washington for a second rounder and fourth rounder and a third, plus a third rounder this year. So we'll kind of find out the other terms because Ian put this in the most complicated way possible, but that reads like a second and fourth next year and a third rounder this year, but we'll kind of see how that goes. But two picks and a pick swap for Laremy Tunsil. I actually think this is brilliant by the Texans.
Well, I mean, they didn't recoup anywhere close to the amount they initially paid for Tunsil, as he was multiple firsts to acquire, but they got a couple years out of him. And I find it interesting, though, that the Commanders are making big splashes with their young quarterback in Jaden Daniels, and the Bears are making big splashes with Caleb Williams.
I just think with the Tunsil thing, because immediately when we see something like this, we go, well, why weren't the Browns on this? Laremy was not the best iteration of himself last year.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a risk by the Commanders. If it works out, it's good for them, but smart move by the Texans potentially to get out ahead of an older left tackle. Now, I think the Texans should go ahead and sign Jed Wills just to really solidify that offensive line in front of C.J. Stroud, to talk about the Myles Garrett extension, to talk about the Browns at 2 and whether things have changed, all the nonsense around the NFL during legal tampering today. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You know him. As an NFL draft and college football analyst for A to Z Sports, he's the host of the Hack City podcast. Joe DeLeon joins us now. Joe, what's up, buddy?
Much. Trying to navigate all this craziness. The Tunsil deal, and I know you guys are saying it makes a lot of sense. I'm kind of blown away by this. I don't really understand getting rid of protection for a team with a bad offensive line, but there's so much, of course, to go through with free agency and the craziness that's happening today.
Well, and the Texans had already cut Shaq Mason as well. Although that's might have been seen as a better move than trading Laremy Tunsil. So I guess we'll start with the Browns here. Do you think Myles Garrett re-signing in Cleveland changes how the Browns should approach the number two pick?
I don't think it does, and I brought this up last week coming out of the NFL Combine that I had mostly heard that the Browns are still strongly consider taking a quarterback at that second overall pick. They're in prime positioning. They don't have to move. They get to pick the second best available quarterback if they don't want to have to try and swap picks with Tennessee. They're in a really good spot to do it. I still, though, think that the smartest move for them, and I brought this up before Myles Garrett with you guys, before he even requested the trade, I still think you take Abdul Carter. I think that by drafting Abdul Carter, you would create the most dangerous pass rush duo in the NFL. You would be so hard to plan for. Opposing offenses would have so much trouble scheming around that. You don't need to rush the quarterback situation if you're not in love with either of these quarterback options that are on the board. And I think that it would then create an ability for them to be patient with building this team going forward. But either way, if you know wherever you're going, with this pick, if it's quarterback or if it's Abdul Carter. I think that either direction at least helps gets his team in the right direction.
Yeah, and obviously Abdul Carter played in different spots on the offense or on the defensive line already. Miles shifts around. He's like J.J. Watt used to be, where he just move all across the line and go where he pleases. But would this involve more of an ask on Abdul Carter than maybe he's typically comfortable with, only playing in that position for a year?
No, I don't think so. I think the one big benefit that you have with Abdul Carter, if he does end up being the pick, is that he's moldable. You know, he's got 1 year of being a true pass rusher and showing that he has this rapid progression of a week to week, on a week to week basis, of getting better and better. When he originally was an off-ball linebacker, and this being his first year as a defensive end, he's moldable, but also ready to go and ready to be productive right away. If you need to ask him to play a certain style and to play a certain role, to be the secondary rusher, the second fiddle to Myles Garrett, I think that is only going to help him succeed and grow quicker in the NFL. And I think first and foremost, like, placing him there to learn from a guy who's already super dedicated, super focused, is already a technician, having that opportunity to compete with him every single day in practice is only going to make him better. I'm so for this duo happening. I don't think it's going to end up coming to fruition, but I just love the thought of having an insane pass rush and the Browns being able to create it.
Joe, Sam Darnold off the board. Justin Fields off the board. We're talking maybe Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson maybe. We're talking, I know Aaron Rodgers is being favorited to either the Giants or Steelers. What do you think is the best possible outcome right now of the remaining quarterbacks on the board at quarterback for the Browns from a veteran perspective?
I would think it's Kirk Cousins. I know that Daniel Jones is a name that keeps getting put into the mix. And as a Giants fan and who has suffered through Daniel Jones, I'm telling Browns fans right now, you don't want him. He's not going to fix any of your problems that you have. He's somebody who needs to, if he has some sort of career resurrection, he needs to go somewhere that's got like a really good foundation for him to take over. Maybe even a team where he's a backup and then eventually takes over for a quality starter that gets hurt, something along those lines, kind of like what Sam Darnold did this past year for the Vikings. But I think Kirk Cousins makes that most sense because he's on the very end of his career. He's already got this massive contract that he had with the Falcons. So if he gets cut, I believe he's still going to be getting a portion of that money. So you can probably sign him for pretty cheap. You can sign him to a one-year deal, see if you can get anything out of him, try and just get a little bit more juice for this final leg of his career. And then on top of this, I think that his play style fits really nicely for Stefanski's offense, needing somebody who is precise, who's accurate, who can do really well in, you know, the play action game. All of those things, I think, is what Stefanski has been missing. And then the last part about this, we saw this crazy career resurgence, not really resurgence, but like this random really good year out of Joe Flacco. When everybody assumed that his career was done, I would think that you'd be able to get that out of a guy like Kirk Cousins. It seems like there is a value of having experience and strong decision-making in this system, rather than maybe going somebody who's a lot more toolsy like a Daniel Jones.
The name of the day, Joe, when it comes to quarterbacks has been Russell Wilson for the Browns. Do you feel like that's a viable option, or is he just kind of out of gas?
Please say no.
Well, the big thing with Russell Wilson, though, is I feel like the Steelers are kind of screwed right now. They're in such a brutal spot because Justin Fields jumped to the Jets. It sounded like that they really wanted to keep Justin Fields. That was their main option, and now they're out of moves. They have to go to Russell Wilson, so I don't think that Wilson's going to end up leaving Pittsburgh. But I do, that last part of that statement that you put in there, I do kind of think that Russell Wilson's out of juice. He has only been successful because he is so mobile and great at navigating the pocket, and I don't think that he has that in him anymore. He's slowly depleted his athleticism. It's just slowly regressed year over year, and he's not somebody who's so massive and physically gifted that if he loses his speed and his athleticism, he can overcome it with his size in the pocket. I think it's kind of just coming to full head here and his career coming to an end.
All right, I'm pretty sure that I can guess where you're going to go with this, but you are the host of the Hack City podcast, talking a fair amount of Giants football there. Aaron Rodgers, one of the two most loudly connected to Aaron Rodgers, at least as of today, teams. One was the Steelers. We talked a little bit about that. The other is the Giants. You want Aaron Rodgers there?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And this is more so a little bit of a fanish reaction, but I think just in general, for Giants fans and just for this organization, they shouldn't want to touch that circus. They shouldn't want to touch and have Aaron Rodgers come in and just become an enormous distraction. I feel like there is an opportunity with where the Giants are sitting to be aggressive, to move up to the first overall pick, to take Cam Ward and to start turning that franchise into a young, budding, developing team. If you take Aaron Rodgers and you sign him, you're just trying to not only extend the last legs of the front office and the coaching staff, but also the last legs of Aaron Rodgers' career. Nothing that he did last year for the Jets makes me think that he would step in New York and be able to play at such a quality level that the Jets would become the Giants would become a playoff team. I just don't think that either side it makes sense. The only team that makes the most sense for Aaron Rodgers is him to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they have an improving offensive line that they've spent a lot of draft capital on. They have now two really good receivers. They have an elite defense. Rodgers, at this point in his career, where he is very much on that last little stretch of ability and capability of what he can do, he's not the same guy at all. He can't improvise to the same level that we once saw him be able to do. He needs to go somewhere where he is not the reason they win or lose. He just needs to be able to use his experience to help them in late-game situations, kind of like what Peyton Manning did in his final season when he won a Super Bowl with the Broncos.
Joe, really good stuff. By the way, I forgot to commend you for surviving the great Twitter outage of 25.
You're a real hero, Joe.
People have been saying Joe DeLeon was out there handing out water, handing out masks to people in need. You were on the front lines of this, and I'm proud of you.
Yeah, digitally, you were right there.
Yeah, I went outside for the first time in multiple days with Twitter down, and I was shocked by how nice it was. 60 degrees here, but I do not regret coming back inside. Wait, and going back right on Twitter.
Joe, you went outside for the first time in a couple days? That's our draft guy.
Why would I need to go outside? I have Twitter.
What's your longest streak for not leaving your house?
That is a great question. I mean, probably, like, in all seriousness, probably like 12 hours, because I work from home. So, like, I get so embedded and stuck in working from home, I forget to leave my apartment. I would say 12 hours is a realistic number.
Those are rookie numbers. We got to pump those up. Joe, great stuff, man. Appreciate you. Talk to you next Monday.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Joe DeLeon there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about the Browns, the number two pick, and if things change since Myles Garrett decided to re-sign in Cleveland. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. There's a part of me that was like, you know what? Joe was take Abdul Carter when he thought the Browns were going to have to trade Myles Garrett. Now he's, you're going to keep Myles Garrett? What's better? Draft Abdul Carter. There's a part of me that really respects not moving off the spot there.
I think it's interesting because we have not been able to have these conversations because Miles has been asking out of Cleveland the entire time we've been talking about Abdul Carter. But it does pose an interesting question, right? Because we've done it so much before with Myles Garrett. We did it with Miles and Jadeveon Clowney. We did it with Miles and Olivier Vernon. Like, we've done this before where you give them somebody that excels also on that defensive line. Abdul Carter, Myles Garrett has got to get you excited, though.
What's wild about it is, like, Jadeveon, I don't think was ever, I shouldn't say ever. By the time Jadeveon was here, I don't think he was a number one edge rusher, right?
No, but he still had a double-digit sack season.
No, he was good.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was, I think he himself was a guy that was going to generate 12 sacks himself. Solid football player, really good defensive end. And I would say that first year of Jadeveon was the best pass rusher or the best defensive lineman they've paired with Miles this entire time, right?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been absent of talent, as we mentioned there, but I'm trying to figure out, was it like Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter last year? Is that the best, like, pass-rushing duo?
Yeah, but I think the point is, I don't think Miles has ever played with another edge rusher with this kind of obvious abundance of talent.
I mean, T.J. Watts had a lot of talent on that Steelers.
I mean, Highsmith, Herbig now. I mean, it's a
murderer's row.
So, like, I think this would be, if they went this way, I don't think you'd be upset. Like, I continue to go back to, if you go either Abdul Carter at two, or if you do a mini trade down, a couple picks for somebody who wants a quarterback, and you go Mason Graham, I don't think there's any problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are two, either guy you put next to Miles, and you put next to McGuire, and you put next to, I still think Mike Hall Jr. is going to be a good football player. If you can't find the dream left tackle there, if you can't find a home run wide receiver, man, or the quarterback, give me this, fortify that defensive line and see where we go from there.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they weigh it because Mary Kay, for instance, earlier today when she put out her Russell Wilson piece, she said, okay, so you take Russell Wilson and then you take Travis Hunter was her idea. So you help out Russell Wilson in that regard because obviously you give him better weapons. Like, are they looking at it that way? If you take Kirk Cousins, do you have to supplement the wide receiver room a little bit better then?
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe not specific to number two, but if it's just Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku with Kirk Cousins, I don't know why we're expecting Kirk Cousins to be any better than Atlanta, other right. than the system change, which I do think should go a long way. I still don't know his arm's going to hold up in this on the lake. I still don't know that he isn't washed entirely, but you can at least sell me about, hey, he fits this system as good as anybody has fit Stefanski's system. He's got 2 years experience in it. But yeah, I mean, getting a decent wide receiver like the DK Metcalf thing to Pittsburgh for a second round pick, and I know it's second round pick plus $30 million, yeah, I would have been really interested in that.
I find it interesting because for years, when Andrew Berry first got to Cleveland, Nick, he definitely spent off seasons really going hard at either the defense or really going hard on the offensive side of the ball. There was a year he went really hard offensively and then really hard defensively, and he's always like pinged it one way or another. He doesn't ever really try to split the baby as much and just kind of like supplement both sides equally to have him upgrade. And so I'd be curious to find out what his plan of attack would be in this instance.
Now, the thing I disagree with Joe is, because I'm coming from it, if I really thought Miles was going to be traded. I did. And so I was legit surprised yesterday when the word came down that Miles had re-signed and that this really was all about money and that now Miles is going to hopefully continue his career in Cleveland. Hopefully finish his career in Cleveland. He's with that contract, he's definitely going to continue it, but we'll see if he finishes his career here. I think what's interesting is, I don't know definitively how this impacts them at two. I don't feel any more or less inclined to take a quarterback now than I was a day ago, even though I do think the veteran quarterback matters probably more now than I did a day ago.
Yeah, I listen, I've always believed they're taking quarterback at two, so it'd be odd if I came out and was like, now I really believe they're taking a quarterback at two. I've just always lived with the idea that they're taking a quarterback at two. It's interesting if they feel like they can win enough, because Miles will be there and the defense should be similar to what it was last year, if they can get this thing and take one of these other quarterbacks and make it all work. I'm very confused right now. Just when you think you know something about this front office, you really have no idea. And I think the Miles signing just kind of preaches that. Even though they told you this entire time, I didn't think they'd pull it off. And it's just the idea that they can pull a rabbit out of their hat consistently amazes me.
I do think that there's an element of this, because I'm glad you say pulled it off. I do think I was really surprised at how many people saw them re-sign Miles and then go, all right, now we're right on path. And it's like, no, you averted disaster.
Yeah.
Now you have to go get the veteran quarterback right, and you have to make a pretty important decision at two. So if the quarterback stuff is all just bluster, then you better get a really significant caliber quarterback in free agency or trade. And like earlier today, who is it? Mike Florio. Not Michael P. Florio, but the actual real.
Always confusing those two. Thanks for the clarification.
Guy's got the slick back hair and the weird hipster, can't be within 500 yards of a school vibe, but the real Mike
Florio. It's just
Florio,
a vibe, though. He can actually do that.
He actually, so far as we know, allegedly.
As we know.
But real Mike Florio connected maybe Seattle to Trevor Lawrence before they signed Sam Darnold.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Because now this is Florio's reporting. Seattle was actually the team to call the Jaguars about Trevor Lawrence, a month ago, whenever that report came out. There is the pesky Kyler Murray stuff out there.
Yeah.
And
those rumors went hard yesterday.
But it's interesting. I think there should be more pressure to win next year because Miles is here. And because Denzel, we feels like we're playing with borrowed time with Denzel. So, if you're going to double up on quarterback at two and in free agency or trade, that's fine. But then I need to see a veteran quarterback of some repute. Like if you bring back Joe Flacco 2.0, you're either telling me quarterback at two is going to start immediately and Joe's just window dressing.
Yeah.
Or you're not serious about winning next year if you bring Joe Flacco back and just expect to all of a sudden, hey, those five games weren't an aberration. We're going to just run it back with Joe. A lot's changed in a year.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have enough moves yet from them for us to really be like, I can point to this and say with certainty they're going to go quarterback at number two, or they're going to just go ahead and get Russell Wilson at number two or Aaron Rodgers at two. I mean, we've done nothing so far. It feels like everyone in the NFL has done a bunch of moves. We have the Myles Garrett re-signing, but we haven't even gotten as much as like a J.K. Dobbins rumor, Nick. I mean, we got no tip of the hand as to what they're doing.
Well, but like, for instance, Daniel Jones. To me, that's a bridge to nowhere. Now, Daniel Jones is young enough. A team can justify not taking quarterback at two. So I wouldn't be surprised if they sign Daniel Jones. If he doesn't go to Indy, that's one of the rumored landing spots for him.
Right, but I meant away from the quarterback spot. I meant like in generalities, we haven't heard much whispers of anything. And so it's we can't get a tip or a read on what they're doing.
Yeah, but because I think they are going dumpster diving. They might even be doing this at quarterback. But like Javon Hargrave is one that makes a ton of sense. Of a guy I think they probably had interest in a couple years ago. The price was too high. He's coming off an injury last year in San Francisco. But he's just, I want to say he's just 31. A lot of football there. I'm trying to think of somebody else. I wouldn't be surprised if their free agent class comprised of a lot of guys that were cut elsewhere, which isn't going to inspire any hope, but it's probably going to be cheaper and still might be just as good of a free agent class as if you went all in.
Well, and it also maybe reinforces the idea that they really liked last year's team. They won three games, but they really liked and thought they put together a really good team.
But I think the only move, the only two moves that are going to tip your hand one way or another are what they do with a veteran quarterback and a two.
Yeah.
And so if they sign Javon Hargrave, I'm not going to be like, yeah, they're doing it. Laser eyes. It's still googly eyes until he does a damn thing worth it. When he nails the number two pick, we'll bring the lasers back. We'll use that as motivation.
Yeah, people brought him back yesterday. Yeah. Much to my dismay, they brought him back.
That's just...
They were everywhere. It was rampant. Laser eyes, it was ridiculous.
Can we give him like one laser eye and then one googly eye? let's incentivize him.
Let's earn your laser eyes back. No, because there's enough people that are just going to love anything he does anyway at this point.
216-474-0092. Are the Browns more likely to take a quarterback at two after the Miles deal? Let's go. Where do you want to go here?
Oh, man. I hate when you do this. Ryan in Geneva.
Ryan in Geneva. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
Doing very well, buddy. Appreciate you.
Good. Can we talk about how the Browns and Andrew Berry are like the Steve Urkel of the NFL?
You may.
You guys ever watch that show where Steve Urkel keeps on pining after Laura Winslow?
Did I do that?
Did you just ask two guys who are sons of the 90s whether we watched Family Matters?
There's a good Mulaney bit about getting drunk, and then he's like, and I pose the question that only drunk people and Steve Urkel do. Did I do that?
Did I do that? Well, the whole premise was that he was always chasing after Lauren Winslow, and Lauren Winslow didn't want him. Didn't want him. What's Barry's fascination with chasing after all these guys that have clearly stated they don't want you? I heard this. I don't know if there's been anything new on it, but Brandon Ayuk, they're going after him again. He's clearly stated, I don't want to be in Cleveland. Even to a certain extent, Myles Garrett, I don't want to be in Cleveland. Deshaun Watson didn't want to come to Cleveland until they gave him.
But you're naming two guys that he got to come to Cleveland and stay in Cleveland now.
Yeah, well, including Watson, right?
Yes, that includes Watson. So he was told no by Watson, but then he was able to convince Watson to come here, which means this is Urkel landing the girl in multiple instances now.
But there's a reason we never saw it after that happened.
But it would lead you to believe that Urkel could do it again.
That must have been the episode where he transformed into a Stefan Urkel.
Didn't he have a massive glow up after the show ended? I thought he got in like really good shape, got rid of the glasses, and was like,
"Yeah, I'm not Urkel anymore."
And
nobody bought it.
He had to wipe away the Urkel, but people just couldn't do it.
Also, it's Laura Winslow. It's not Lauren Winslow. I'm not trying to be that guy. We're going to make an apt comparison.
That's going to be your what you bring to the table in a phone call too. You probably have to have that one right.
The Aiyuk thing actually makes sense to me. Like a year ago, I thought it would have cost you about a two because he's coming off an ACL.
They want out of it. It was a bad deal by them. They want out of it.
And by the way, the deal actually isn't that terrible if you trade for him. If we're talking a third or a fourth, if we get the Amari Cooper special, which is even less than that, for Brandon Aiyuk, I'd feel a hell of a lot better about drafting a quarterback at two, specifically Cam Ward, because now Aiyuk, Judy, that is a tandem I think you can play with and have some success.
They've also given up a bunch of draft picks, right? Trey Lance was a bunch of draft picks. Christian McCaffrey was a bunch of draft picks. Like they need capital.
216-474-0092. Does the Miles deal make it more or less likely the Browns take a quarterback at two? And when there are no winners, don't be afraid to be a loser. 5 minutes from now on 92.3 The Fan. We are still waiting word on Aaron Rodgers and where he might play. But of course, while we wait on that, I'll find out maybe who's going to be the Browns quarterback this year. What's the first move of free agency? You guys are going to keep it right here. The news continues to flow in very quickly. The cornerback market being the latest to go ahead and surge. Nate Hobbs to Green Bay, previously of the Raiders. Dante Jackson, previously of the Steelers, to the Chargers. Darius Slay, who had been released by Philly, going to Pittsburgh. And then probably the best of the bunch to sign that we've mentioned right here, DJ Reed to Detroit. So Detroit did also release Za'Darius Smith there. I want to say it was yesterday. Could have been today. I don't know. Time's a flat circle. So plenty of news to come. Stick here. But I am where Mike is. Mike on Twitter sending in at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, anyone but Russell Wilson, please.
Anyone?
Anyone.
Literally anyone. So
Gardner Minshew.
So I'm like anyone but Kirk Cousins. Yep. You guys are anyone but Russell Wilson.
Yeah. I actually think Kirk Cousins makes sense from a football perspective. I think if Russ couldn't make it work in Pittsburgh, I don't think he's making it work anywhere. Guys,
which is how I feel about Kirk Cousins. If he couldn't make it work in Atlanta, I don't think he can make it work anywhere.
Oh, I think they screwed him in Atlanta.
He got a lot of skilled
system,
position players, and he just stunk up the joint.
You don't put Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles injury in the shotgun. You just don't. And that's exactly what they did. They built the offense for Michael Penix. After spending $100 million on Kirk, I can at least get behind that. Russ, stink on crap.
But it wasn't even like, at least Russ, while he was really bad and they were lost the final five games, was at least serviceable. Kirk Cousins was 0 touchdowns, 9 interceptions over the final three.
I don't think Russ was serviceable down the stretch. We agree to disagree. Tell me about the golf incident this weekend.
Yeah, so this Saturday I'm going to be able to go golfing for the first time this season, which I know a lot of my golfers out there were really excited for. And so I went to the golf dome to try to get me, just some swings in. I go with a friend, and how the golf dome is set up, you can either do a half hour or you can do an hour. And so we walk in and we go to the front counter, and it's 1:45. And the girl at the counter, she's got to be maybe 16 years old, right? She goes, "Do you want a half hour? Do you want an hour?" We're like, "Well, we'll do an hour. And we'll just kind of rotate and we'll just kind of jump in and jump out. But we want the full hour then. Give us the hour." She's like, "Okay, great." And then you're in Bay 14, go up and have a day. And so about 2:30 comes, and this guy comes on up. And the place is packed, by the way, because everyone has the same thought that we do. You just want to get some swings in. Yeah. And this guy comes up and says, "Hey, I'm booked at 2:30 for Bay 14. We're like, "Well, we paid for an hour. We started at 1:45. Like, I don't know what to tell you." So he goes down the stairs because we were in the upper deck. And then he gets this 16-year-old girl to, she comes back up the stairs with them. And she goes, you guys are done. You're booked for 1:30 to 2:30. And then my friend just goes, no, I mean, we got here at 1:45. That's the only line my friend said. Mm-hmm. We got here at 1:45. And this guy who was teaching his daughter off to the side turns around and yells, you're really going to argue with her? And I'm, you know me, I'm so non-confrontational. I'm like, no, it's fine. Like, we'll go. And the guy senses this is awkward, too. The guy that tried, like, it's saying it was his bay now.
Yeah.
And he's like, you guys can hit in with us if you want. And I'm like, no. I had enough swings. Let's just go. We don't need to do this. And my buddy, we go to go down the stairs. And he's like, well, I should probably tell her, like, what exactly went down and how it went down so that, like, as a learning opportunity so this doesn't happen in the future, because clearly she messed up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can we just go? But I didn't know what to do, and I was so shook by this guy who just turned around and yelled, like, you really going to argue with her? I get it. She's a kid, you know, but just because she's a kid doesn't mean we get shorted by 15 minutes potentially. Like, shouldn't there be some sort of something here?
Yeah, I think you deserved at least a refund, if not your full extra 15 minutes in the bay there. That guy, that Mr. Tryhard, I'm going to teach my kid and then yell at somebody else.
And his kid had, like, sticks down and everything. Like, she was trying to teach her to play in the LPGA. Tryhard's a great way to put
him. Oh, my God. There are so many of those guys in golf. And I've had the displeasure of playing with some of them. And they got all the golf gear, and they try and act as if it's like a real thing. It's like, dude, you're 45. All right,
well, it's a fun hobby. Like, no, I like no, it as it a is. Hobby, you know?
It is, but you're a doctor, Greg. Yeah. Be a doctor. Okay. All right, stop acting like you're something. I got the finest. I got the latest gear. It's like, their PGA's closed. You're not going there. No.
I was so torn, though, because I agree with my friend. The idea that, like, I mean, you do at some point. You can't just let her be bad at her job because she's 16, but she's also a 16-year-old girl, so I wouldn't want my friend turning around and yelling or something in return.
Oh, to the other guy?
The other guy?
Oh, yeah. That guy needs to shut the hell up. And
I wouldn't be like, mind your own business, buddy. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't concern you.
Oh, I would have said much worse. If your boy was with you, if I had been the friend that had gone with you, there would have been...
You would have yacked back?
Oh, big time. And I would have let him know.
I feel like he, like, got the best of us because he just was the only one that got wowed himself.
Yes, exactly.
But he in turn then made it a big deal. It didn't have to be a big deal.
Yes. I would say, get back to your khakis and shut the hell up. So
and he was wearing khakis.
So in fairness, nobody here did anything wrong, right? She did something wrong in that she didn't do it the right way. But what I mean is the three of you were actually in the right spot. The guy who thought his bay started at 2:30 was just trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
He went and got help. That's a person you go to. You guys were trying to explain it to him. So really, like, you guys did everything except tell that guy to shut the hell up. Now, this does bring my theory.
Yeah.
If everyone's put in a position where no one can win, then be a loser. And be a loser, to me, does mean turn around and yak back.
That's the version of being a loser. Because I kind of felt like a loser that I didn't yak back, but I kind of felt like a loser that I just kind of was like, the 15 minutes wasn't important to me.
Understand that anything you do that involves yakking back is going to make you look like an a-hole. That's fine. There are times in a man's life where I think you should be comfortable with standing up for yourself. Now, you did the respectable thing. I think, though, turning around, especially depending on how old your friend was, your relationship, like how good of buddies you are. Like if I know my buddy is not going to stand up for himself, that makes me even more likely to turn around and just chirp.
I think my buddy was getting ready to do a lot of chirping himself, and I just kind of wanted
she just made an innocent mistake. That's fine.
I'm just so anti-confrontation, and I don't want to make anything a scene. But fighting over the 15 minutes wasn't really the biggest deal to me. But at the same time, you don't want people just to walk all over you.
Now, B25 saying a driver to the teeth could have fixed the problem.
There we go. Let's be rational about it.
We do not advocate violence, but a little chirping goes a long way. You know I'm here to boo. I'll boo people in public. I have no problem with it.
You think it's a thing that we should do more of?
Now, the only other thing I would change.
Yeah.
If I had to change anything, is once you got away from the mouthy, I want to be, Tiger Woods jag.
Yeah.
I probably, in a much more simmer down setting, I would have had another go at talking to the 16-year-old and be like,
yeah,
listen, it's fine that we made this mistake. They can have the bay. I'd like whatever recompense is for 15 minutes of our time.
Or, I mean, it just saves her the hassle of this coming down in the future,
yes.
Right? Because I mean, clearly she didn't do her job,
that's
right?
That's another good one. When you get away from that, whatever that goofball's problem was,
yeah.
You're saying, hey, could we maybe involve your manager in this? Because we just want to sort this out. We're not trying to start problems.
I don't want to get her in trouble, though. Like, you bring the manager involved. But at some point, if she's 16, it doesn't mean she's can just do anything she wants either.
It's such a
delicate situation.
I was wrong. There were some. You either chirp at the guy and stand up for yourself there, or you got to stand up with yourself with a girl, and not like a mean way, but in a hey, we didn't get our money's worth here, and we'd like some sort of whether it's a coupon for the future or something. You got to in one way or another, you got to stick up for yourself.
I didn't.
I'm proud of you.
I didn't. Well, I don't
but
know.
I'd be more proud if you just told him to shut the hell up.
No, but it's definitely one of those things where you think about it for like hours afterwards and you're like, that would have been the perfect comeback or that would have been, if only I would have said that to that guy. Ah, that guy should have just left us alone.
216-474-0092. What should JP and his friend have done differently? We got the lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.